Good morning. Welcome. We're not a big crowd, but we're warm. And, you know, it turned out to be a pretty nice day. It's, yeah, it's cold, but the sun is shining and the wind isn't blowing like yesterday. Yesterday was pretty wild and woolly, but welcome to Grace on this beautiful Sunday in January, the middle of January already. So, welcome. If you're in the sanctuary, if you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, I hope not. It's too cold to do that. But or if you're at home taking this online, we welcome you all to Grace this Sunday morning. Just a few announcements before we get started. If you want to take a look at the back page of the bulletin, of course, today there are refreshments. I saw a lot of good food come through the door. We canceled Sunday school and confirmation because of our cold weather policy, but so you get confirmation donuts today, too. So they came along. So, but Monday, tomorrow morning, 9:30 to 11, Women's Home Bible Study at Rachel Runovic's. The address is there. All women are welcome. Wednesday, 8 a.m., we're continuing our Bible study through Isaiah, and then we take a 15-minute break, and then we have our prayer group. So if you have a prayer request, feel free to fill out a prayer card. It should be in the pew, and put that in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. And then there's youth group also on Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. So the Grace Youth will meet for a meal, devotions, and games. And then remember, there is no Grace Lutheran Women in January. So even though it's the third Thursday of the month, the Grace Lutheran Women are not meeting. So we look out to next Sunday, 9 a.m. Sunday School Confirmation Adult Study, and of course morning worship at 10, and then food and fellowship. We're looking at the end of the month. We're not too far away. January 28th, 11 a.m., immediately following the service, we will have our Grace annual meeting here. It'll be held in the sanctuary. And then when we're all done with the business, then we get to fellowship over food. So it's a potluck. So that's always fun to have that. So some service opportunities. If you're interested in serving, of course, Sunday greeters, feed the Wednesday night youth group. There's a sign up for that in the fellowship hall. Food shelf donations out in the foyer. Serve for Sunday fellowship. You don't have to bring food, just serve it and then maybe clean up. And then starting February 14th, that's coming up, Ash Wednesday, and we start our Lenten soup and sandwich, Lenten fellowship. So there's a sign up sheet. I see the council has signed up for Ash Wednesday, but if your group wants to serve soup and sandwich, the sign-up is out there and ready to be signed. So, and then of course, it's I know the nominating committee was meeting today, and so it's a wonderful time of the year to start thinking about, if I'm asked, do I want to serve on a church board or do I want to serve on the council? So it's a time to start thinking about that. And the nominating committee is they're contacting people and trying to fill out rosters for positions. And then our January mission of the month is Chris Nelson medical treatment. We know that Chris has had some major medical issues, and so we want to get behind him and support him in that. So thank you to all who brought food and served last Sunday, and then thanks to the Grace Quilters for all the work they did Monday and Tuesday, and they even fed me Tuesday, and it was a lot better than what I brought. So thank you. So those are the announcements. Anything else? Yes, Karen.
Meeting, although it's a potluck, Group 2 is in charge of serving.
Okay. If you didn't hear that, Group 2, GLW Group 2, is serving the potluck after the annual meeting. So, all right. Let's turn the corner into our worship service proper this morning as we open our service in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Made it this morning, and we like to just invite you to join us in our opening song of praise and worship to our great God, Your Name, and we're going to follow that with just a short chorus, He is Lord.
Good morning. This morning I was thinking of a song and kind of rewrote the words a little bit. The temperature outside is frightful, but the fire of God's presence and love among us is delightful. We have a God that knows us through and through and yet loves us through and through. How wonderful that is. And the verses from Psalm 139 that we're going to read today tell a little bit about that knowledge God has of us. And I'd like to just change things up a little bit today and have us all read the whole thing together and think about this psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may always believe, trust, and call upon you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Our hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness. For opening, and I would invite any praise singers to come forward to lead us.
Thank you.
we've sung about God's great faithfulness. And let's experience that faithfulness now together as we stand before this God of ours openly and honestly and confess that we are sinners and then hear of his great mercy and receive his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's promise to us, a beautiful promise from the book of 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word of promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. It's my great joy and distinct privilege to proclaim to you this morning that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith. Let's step into a rich stream of history here. Christians all over the planet have confessed this creed for over 1,700 years, a beautiful summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you this morning.
Our first reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. We pray for guidance, O Lord God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Rachel. You might be sensing a theme in today, given the scriptures that are in the lectionary, the call to worship in the scriptures. There's a theme of God calling us, God knowing us. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about that in our sermon today. But before we get there, it's about halftime. Let's stand up, stretch our legs, and greet your neighbor. Maybe that's what it's all about there.
Thank you.
saw many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place I've been preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. And my Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Yes, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Beautiful. Thank you, Amy. The world is full of disappointments, full of betrayals, but our Redeemer is faithful and true. So you can hitch your wagon onto that and get pulled through this broken world of ours. So thank you for that music, Amy. Well, kids, it's that time. If there's any kids out there, we got a sparse crowd today because it's cold out there, but if there's any kids, come on up. And I see Uncle Phil's got the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total loss. Come on up. Okay. There we go. All right. So what do I have here? A picture. And you know, this used to hang in my Grandma Sankson's kitchen all the time. And when I was your age, I would always run up and look at this picture because I wanted to make sure the little lamb hadn't fallen off the cliff. So let me ask you, who's doing the finding here? Did the sheep find Jesus? No, Jesus found the sheep. Well, he wandered off, didn't he? And look, he's almost dropping off that edge of that cliff, but Jesus is going to save him, isn't he? Jesus finds us. He knows us. He put his name on you when you were baptized, when your parents brought you to the Lord in baptism, and he's known you when you came into this world, and he's walking with you. And so we always have to remember that Jesus is the one that finds us. One of our members one time replied to somebody who said they found God, and they said, "I didn't know he was lost." But God is not lost, and Jesus is not lost. But sometimes we get lost. We wander off. And there was a time in my life where I needed this picture because I had wandered off. and Jesus found me again. He never left me, and that's an important message for us. And of course, we know that because of this cross, that our sins are forgiven, and that there's nothing between us and God that can separate us, because Jesus has found us and saved us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you today that we're not the ones that found you. You found us. You never left us, and we pray, Lord, that that would steady us throughout our lives. Amen. All right, thank you so much. And let's give him a hand for coming up here all by himself. How do you know me, Lord? We're going to hear that from the text today. But let's pray. Lord, we praise you that your word is truth, your word is spirit, and you come to us in this word. So open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. Amen. Well, on June 30th, 2013, a man dressed in a sports coat and a neatly pressed blue shirt walked into the Bank of America in Des Moines, Iowa. And he explained that he needed a new debit card. He presented his identification card to the bank official, who looked at the card, looked at him, and then said, "Sir, you don't look anything like the man on this ID card." The photo of the ID card was of a middle-aged man with gray hair. The man looking for the new debit card looked to be in his mid-20s. Undaunted, the man explained that his lack of resemblance to the photo was caused by a recent accident. Suspecting a fraud, the bank manager called the police. Next slide, please. When the police arrived, they encountered a 25-year-old man with gray powder in his hair and beard, wearing a foam neck brace with an ace bandage wrapped awkwardly around a thick head of hair, making him resemble the cartoon figure Gumby. The disguise used by this attempted identity thief was so bad that it prompted the police officer to ask him, "Are you seriously trying to pass yourself off as the man on this ID card?" The man hung his head and said meekly, "I know." In fact, the actual owner of the ID card had lost the card when his car had been stolen and had wisely notified his bank to flag his account. Now, from today's text, we will see, as in this narrative, that Jesus indeed does come to us. There's no need for us to try to fake our identity with him, for he knows us intimately long before we ever give him any thought. And in the words of Psalm 139, from our call to worship, "He has searched me and known me. He perceives my thoughts from afar and is familiar with all of my ways." And that, my friends, is a good thing. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51, the gospel text for this second Sunday after the Epiphany. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus the Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" The word of the Lord. The first thing I notice from this text is who does the finding. Now, we live in a in a world that is full of self-empowerment and self-will, and we live with the mistaken notion that we are sometimes a mystery to God because we're so modern and complicated, thinking that either he is too big and almighty to be concerned about me, or that because of my disinterest in him, I can cancel him out of my life. We think to ourselves, if God is going to come into my life, then I'm going to have to either find him or grant him permission to be interested in me. But all of this dissolves by the action of Jesus, who takes the first step. As we see in verse 43, finding Philip, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus finds. Now, our human tendency to think that we do the finding is seen in Philip's first words to Nathanael when he says in verse 45, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about." Now, of course, we know that Jesus has already found Philip, but this contradiction in Philip's words shows how we humans often perceive things. This is an important point. It takes years, maybe a lifetime, for us to see the liberating truth that God has found us long before we found him. And when this realization dawns on us, it is liberating, for it gives us the assurance we need to simply rest in God's ability, rest in his one-way grace, rest in the gospel. Thankfully, the reality of Jesus' invasion into Philip's life comes back to him when he answers Nathanael's objection about Jesus. When Nathanael scoffs at Philip's claim that Jesus is the Messiah, saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" The Gentile-dominated region so far away from the holy city of Jerusalem, Philip, still feeling the impact of Jesus finding him, simply invites Nathanael to come and see. Come and see. Experience him for yourself. We learn here that it's not in our ability to convert anyone. That is the Lord's job. Note the sequence in this text. Jesus finds Philip, Philip finds Nathanael, and then Jesus wins Nathanael over. And this brings us to the second point. Not only does Jesus find, but Jesus reveals. It's in his interaction with this skeptical Nathanael that we see our Lord doing what he does best, revealing himself to us personally, pulling our masks off and letting us see him for who he really is. He proves himself to us. Faith, you see, is a personal thing. It's a personal work of God. Now, Nathanael was just being a pious Jew in his objection. Nazareth had been populated by Gentiles during the Jewish exile. Why would a Jewish Messiah come out of that place? Now, Jesus could have argued from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. We're actually in chapter 9 right now in our Bible study, in which there's a crystal clear prediction that the prophet Isaiah saw, that the Messiah would, quote, come from Galilee of the Gentiles, that he would come to a people in darkness and shed his marvelous light on them. Now, Jesus could have opened up his Bible and argued this way, but instead of this, Jesus chooses to personally invade Nathanael's life, revealing to Nathanael his intimate knowledge of him, knowledge of his character, and an understanding of what made Nathanael tick. It's like if one of our family members are asked to describe us. Oh, we know. They see far beyond the public persona we project. They know us for who we really are. And Jesus hits the nail square on the head as Nathanael is approaching him. And he says, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." We need to stop and just look at this in slow motion, frame by frame. First, we hear Jesus say, "Nathanael, I know you're an Israelite. You're a patriot, a man of faith whose identity is completely wrapped up in being a member of the one nation on earth that God bound himself to with a covenant. This is your life's passion. You are not out to join the Romans in order to get ahead, but you're faithful to your land and country. And your response to this Roman occupation is to put your hope in looking for God's promised Messiah. There's no deceit or trickery about you. I know you. You're not going to jump at anybody's claims or promises. No, you have an appetite for substance and reality because that is where you live. But here's the really interesting thing after this exchange. Already we see in this Nathanael being disarmed by Jesus. His objection about Jesus coming from Nazareth just drops to the ground as he asks, "How do you know me?" I think this is so, so interesting. Nathanael has been moved by Jesus from an impersonal debate about a place called Nazareth into the very personal question of me. How do you know me, Lord? Without really understanding how he even got to this point, Nathanael has been guided into the reality that Jesus isn't as much interested in winning an argument as he is in winning the person. Jesus' answer to Nathanael's "How do you know me?" is to cue Nathanael in to the divine nature of his knowledge as he reveals something to Nathanael that is both personal and divine. Jesus simply says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, this may not seem all that important to us, but the point of this connection between Jesus and Nathanael is that this knowledge was of immense importance to Nathanael. As Jesus reveals his depth of knowledge to Nathanael, it dawns on Nathanael that Jesus knows him as only God can know him. Can you feel it? This is a revelation that presents itself to each of us here today, as we see in this the fact that we are also known as only God can know us. Scholars have pondered about this fig tree connection. Was Nathanael in the deepest of prayer under the fig tree, crying out to God for deliverance from the Romans, calling out to God to send his promised Messiah? Or maybe Nathanael was sitting under that fig tree so completely discouraged that he was ready to chuck his faith altogether, throwing his hands up into the air, saying to himself that this almighty covenant God was just a figment of someone's imagination, and he was tired of it all. But you know what? The text doesn't say. The text doesn't answer that question. But here's something to consider about the text's silence on this. Could it be that the beauty of the simplicity of this narrative is that we can fit our own wrestlings with God into it? Give us a blank box there and let us put our own wrestlings in there. Whatever it was that Nathanael was doing under that fig tree, Jesus' selection of that particular moment in Nathanael's life hit him like a thunderbolt. It was an epiphany. He was seen. He was known. Known not by a man, not by an argument, not by a philosophy, but known as only God could know him. The connection between heaven and earth had been made, not by Nathanael, but by God himself. This is what prompted Nathanael to move from the skepticism of, can anything good come out of Nazareth, to the faith of, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And once this connection is made, Jesus opens up a more complete picture of his mission when he says, "Oh, Nathanael, the best is yet to come. Hang on. You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I am the bridge myself between heaven and earth." So what's the point in all of this for us? Well, like it or not, we cannot put God off or hold him at bay. There is just the raw reality of who Jesus is and how Jesus acts with us. We may want to debate him, marshaling all our complaints and objections, but Jesus just looks at us and says, "I have seen you. I know you. I know the passion of your soul, the depth of your wounds, the carelessness of your rebellions, the stupidity of your stumbles. I know it all, but here I am. I see you, I know you, and I want you. Follow me." We may feel today that the Lord has not found us, but in fact he has. He is intimately acquainted with all our ways. And the good news of his gospel is that in spite of what he knows about us, out of his great love for us, he willingly laid down his life for us. Because of him, we live beneath an open heaven, with all of our sins, not in the part, but in the whole, forgiven. He has found us, and he is calling us to see him with us on our journeys. So take off the disguise. He sees right through it anyway. "How do you know me, Lord?" "I have always known you," he answers. "Such knowledge is indeed wonderful, and to God be the glory." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I know now that I am not to be defined by my weakness and brokenness, but I realize more than ever that's where you meet me. Even though you know everything about me, yes, everything, what a humbling and comforting thing that is, to be fully known and yet fully loved by you. What an amazing Savior you are, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You embrace the cross, my cross, so that I might have the shelter and the warm home of your never-ending supply of grace for my brokenness. Grant me faith to walk in honesty with and trust in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you.
Please be seated.
Well, as is our good custom, we usually spend a little time in prayer at this moment, so let us pray. Lord God, we thank you. Indeed, your knowledge is too wonderful for us. The knowledge of who we are and yet what you've done for us. We praise and thank you. Lord, we think especially of those who celebrate birthdays this week, that this might be a week of just deeper knowledge of who you are and how much you love them. And Lord, we live in a broken world. Each of us have different journeys through it. And in this moment of silence, Lord, we lift up our own journeys, our own brokenness, our own trials, our own joys. We lift them up to you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you're able. As we sing together our doxology, our closing song of praise this morning. Salvation belongs to our God.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us, added to this fellowship. We hope you can stay and have a little food and sustenance over some friendship in the fellowship hall, but receive the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you
and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.
Thanks be to God.